Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast, sponsored by Wintrust. Tony Andracki here with Kelly Kroll. And Kelly, the Cubs just lost a series to the Brewers, so they're sitting here one game up in the division. If you look in some corners of Cubs Twitter, it seems like the Cubs are 10 games back. Obviously, that's not the case, but the biggest issue right now for the Cubs is obviously they're not playing well. Mm-hmm. That the record indicates that, the stats indicate that, but the really tough part is they keep saying they need rest. Even Kyle Hendricks, a guy who I've never heard admit a weakness like that, says that this team is tired, to be honest, right now, and they don't get rest for another week. You were in the clubhouse here. Where would you kind of assess where this team is after the Brewers series, having to go to D.C. and losing one of their two off days left in the season?
Yeah, they're in a tough spot from the standpoint of scheduling, but that is what it is. And the guys are saying the right things. It was interesting, like you said, to hear Kyle Hendricks say, "We may be battling some fatigue, but that's not an excuse. Every team goes through their tough stretches." So again, you're hearing guys say the right things, but that doesn't mean you're not seeing the fatigue come out on the field. And I absolutely think that's what we're seeing from the Cubs right now. But I don't necessarily... the pitching has still been there, I would argue. Like, the pitching has been good enough. You look at the finale or the rubber match against the Brewers, and it fell apart, like, later in the innings. But really, Kyle Hendricks did his job. And then the next, like, what was it, 6-7 and into the eighth, all held up their part, and it was a one-run ball game. And then it got out of hand after a Curtis Granderson home run, in a way. But they pitched well enough to win the game, is my point. And I just think this offense has been what's had me shaking my head. I just can't remember when so many talented guys had this stretch of battling themselves again, and here we are talking about a September slump, which isn't supposed to happen. And it's hard for Anthony Rizzo to look at us and say, "You can't imagine this is going to happen forever, is it?" Well, you don't have forever. You've got 18 games, and every single one is critical right now. So I don't think they're in a bad spot. They're still leading the division, and I think that this will turn around. They do have to get through this next stretch of whatever, 5 to 6 games, though, before they get a day off. And I think that day off will be miraculous. I do think we will see like a completely rejuvenated team. It's crazy how quickly that can happen. But right now, they're going to have to dig down and find something deep within themselves that they probably haven't really had to do before. And they all admitted that. Like, they're always stronger on the backside of going through something like this. And I think this team, as resilient as they are, will do that again. They still believe they own this division.
Yeah, you know, that one off day they have coming up, it's September 20th right now. So it's also not quite a full off day, because they're going to be coming back from Arizona, a night game. And they're going to have, at least they have a night game, like it's part of the road trip, quote unquote. I'm doing air quotes, you can't see it. But they're going to the south side for next weekend. So that is nice that, you know, it's not like they have to get up and travel Friday morning. But, I mean, it's an 8:40 Central Time game that Wednesday night. I mean, you're talking maybe midnight Central Time, it gets done. Their best case scenario, on a plane, 1:30 back home here about 4 a.m. That's not great rest anyway. They'll get some rest that night. So you're right, like, they should, you know, come rejuvenated, but like, the Crosstown series have been so weird that you never know what's going to happen. Arizona, you know, it, you never know what's going to happen with that either, of course.
They're playing for their opportunity right now as well, so they've been playing some good ball. That's going to be a tough series out there, and really they all are at this point. Every team, you even the Crosstown series, you got to, every one of you listening knows for the White Sox, that will make their season if they can possibly, you know, put the Cubs out of reach in terms of winning the division. I mean, that would mean the world to them. So, yeah, everybody's gunning for them, and the Brewers aren't looking to slow down anytime soon either. So, it's, yeah, it's going to be a fun, exhilarating, exhausting stretch.
So, let's kind of dig in here, too, on the offense, because yeah. I'm totally with you. I think that's, I mean, Madden's been talking about it for 4 days or 3 days, really, too. And that's been the issue. I mean, it's, you look up and down this lineup. Javi Baez, who is still in the MVP race, I think he's still actually, as of Wednesday morning, was leading, tied for the lead in National League and RBI. He has not driven a run in 10 days now. Anthony Rizzo, for as great as he's been, hasn't got a hit in a week. Daniel Murphy stabilized this lineup. Mm-hmm. He's 0 for his last 12, I think, including no hits through all three starts in the Brewers series. Chris Bryant's starting to do better. Ben Zobrist is looking better. But, I mean, we've seen the struggles from Wilson Contreras, Addison Russell, Albert Almora Jr., Ian Happ. David Bodie's not playing anymore. Caratini's been hitting well, but Madden's already said that Wilson's still going to get most of the starts behind the plate. So, I mean, at this point, you look up and down this lineup, and it's obviously doesn't look great, you know, and they're already tired. They already have another week, as we just said, including a West Coast trip. But curious in your thought process or your stance on this, how much does this offense miss Jason Hayward right now?
A ton. And it's something that I will tell you from sitting in the camera well at Wrigley. I'm right next to the dugout, and beyond having Jason Hayward in the lineup and in right field and feeling so good about that gold glover out there, for those that don't know, Jason Hayward is one of the most vocal and one of the biggest cheerleaders up and down in the dugout. And it's not that he's not doing that while he hasn't been playing, he has, but there's just a difference to it. There's a difference when the guy is then, you know, tapping you on the behind as you run out to the outfield with him, and that's what Almora will feel, or whomever's out there with him in Zobrist, or if it's Happ, or if it's Schwarber, who's another guy that they got to get his back right.
That's another really good point.
I don't know what the severity of that is. I don't think any of us do. I mean, the fact that it's been what they say day to day and tight now for what are we going on, 3 to 4 days, isn't great.
Even a little longer than that, because it's something that's been lingering since, you know, the first week of September, last couple of days of August. And yeah, I mean, you're right. And he's not even going on a trip to DC. Mm-hmm. So there's no end in sight, I guess. I mean, the best case scenario would be he's back in the lineup Friday, and even that, you know, I mean, they need Schwarber's bat in the lineup right now too.
I get the sense that, as everyone at home probably does as well, that this Cubs team and the management and the front office is so good at pacing these guys, and like Joe has emphasized all year long, rest. We're looking at Brandon Morrow, and they have waited to the last possible second to rev that guy up and amp him up, and he's going to basically push through the last bit of discomfort he has to get back here this season. I think they're probably going to do the same thing if you can make that comparison with these hitters in Jason Hayward and Kyle Schwarber. I mean, they're still leading the division until maybe they get to a point where they're feeling like it's legitimately slipping away. I don't know that they push on these guys. I don't know that what they were hoping for, and we heard Madden say it the other day, is that one guy, that one X factor to step up and get hot, and then as Joe put it, he put the saddle on him and he'd ride that hot bat as long as he possibly could. And we're just not seeing that guy come through yet. But I do still believe, I don't know how you feel, I'm curious to hear your stance as well. I do still believe that this offense turns it around. I just do. I think that they are very, not admitting it, but I think they're very tired right now, and yet I believe that when they have gotten some proper rest and they get to stay in their own bed for the last basically 2 weeks of the season, I think we could see them rip off a number in a row and finish this thing off.
Yeah, you know, I think they absolutely can do that, and this whole stretch started as 23 games in 23 days. I mean, looking back on it, it's incredible that the Cubs went, what were they, 7-1 or 6-1 on the homestand to begin that stretch, or like right at the beginning. I mean, without that, this would be an absolutely monster, like terrible stretch. So, yeah, but I'm definitely with you. I think, you know, offensively they can get there, but the hard part is Victor Caratini is the only guy that looks like he's been about to get hot, like you just mentioned.
I think Chris Bryant looked a lot better.
That's true, tonight.
And even, I will say this, this is the best night, and we're talking to, post the rubber match against the Brewers, the best night I've seen Addison Russell in a while. When you think of his last plate appearance and ripping that, I guess it was a base hit to right, but that's the most power I've seen come off his bat in a while. I don't know if you felt the same way.
And he had a nice line out too, yeah.
It may mean nothing, but you like to think that that means something's trending in the right direction for him. But I think it's been made clear that Addison Russell's going to be a guy that Joe brings in for defense towards the end at this point. That's, I think, just how he's going to play this. But I guess Chris Bryant, in other words, his bat heating up and believing that Anthony Rizzo is going to put something together. And Daniel Murphy is too much of a veteran hitter. I think this has just been a bad couple games stretched for him. I still think that they can turn that around. And once those three-ish get going, Zobrist also, he still looked good. So there you got four guys that if those four guys are hitting well, they just got to get the bottom of the lineup doing the same thing, matching that.
Yeah, you know, and it's, we don't know exactly what the lineup's going to be as we, you know, do this on Wednesday night here. But in Thursday, I mean, Madden already teased that Murphy and Zobrist probably will be out of the lineup in D.C. He's been talking about wanting to get Javi a day off for a while and believes he looks tired.
Do you think he's got a week. Murphy and Zobrist even go to D.C.?
They were packing their bags but I mean, that's a good question because Schwarber's already not going to D.C. Other starting pitchers, for example, John Lester, who also dealing with a back issue, he's staying behind. Hendricks is staying behind. Every starting pitcher but Mike Montgomery is staying behind. So, and maybe some relievers. Like, I wonder if we'd see C.J. Edwards or Steve Cishek go at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pedro Strop should go. Justin Wilson should go. So, there's a decent amount of guys that will go. But that's a good question about Murphy or Zobrist. The only thing is they might go just because of, like, that one pinch hitting opportunity late in a game. If the game's on the line and you have this one spot to, like, deploy one of those guys, and as badly as they need a win right now and that one at-bat could change things, that's the only reason why I think they might go. But those are two guys that I'm with you. I think that, given that Madden's already been talking for a couple days about them probably getting Thursday off, I wonder if they will make the trip. So I guess we'll see for sure. But, yeah, just, you know, in general, I mean, they need this rest. They started the game off actually looking very good offensively. I mean, Addison Russell, like you mentioned, had a nice line-out with a couple runners on after Kyle Hendricks got a hit, by the way.
Yeah. Fourth.
And, you know, they hit a lot of balls hard, this offense did. But
a lot of deep counts as well. So, I mean, they, again, I don't know if he was completely on, but Chase Anderson for the Brewers went four innings. That's it. I mean, so, and they worked him up to 71 pitches in four innings. So maybe he goes five if he's at his very best. I don't know, five or six. But in other words, they had some good at-bats. They just weren't able to make anything happen with them. So,
and then they just kind of
take for what that's worth.
They just kind of fizzled after that. I mean, yeah. The Brewers bullpen's awesome. Obviously, they saw Josh Hader, you know, again, but they just, that was it. They had a couple hard contact and then they fizzled. And that's what Madden's been talking about, is they just have not had hard contact consistently. They'll have a couple at bats a game. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of that is the fatigue factor, but, you know, they do have to figure it out. We're going to see what this team is made of right now over these next 7 days, because they don't get that rest. There's nothing they can do about it. So as tired as they are, they have to, like, dig deep and figure it out. And you know what? I mean, honestly, we'll see. Like, the worst case scenario, they go 0-7, the Brewers go 7-0, and the Cubs are playing for, like, a wild card spot. I mean, obviously not. Or the Brewers will go 6-0. They actually have an off day on Thursday. So, you know, I mean, it's probably not going to happen that way. But, you know, we are about to see what this Cubs team is made of. And they've been through adversity before. On the tail end of this stretch, though, after that off day, maybe Jason Hayward will be back. Brandon Morrow's projected to be back. That should help a bullpen that has obviously been overworked and struggling as well. And, you know, assuming John Lester's able to make his next start, the rotation still and the defense has still been, you know, kind of a highlight. So it's – the Cubs are controlling their own destiny right now, as much as it doesn't seem like it. And – this next week will be really what defines this season.
Yeah, I echo everything you just said. I don't think, and maybe it's because I somewhat feed off of the vibe I'm feeling from the clubhouse, and it's hard to panic when you've got those guys looking you straight in the eye and you can tell there is just absolutely no concern. I mean, they want to be hitting better, of course. They want to be playing better as a whole, but they're not, I mean, they're not admitting to feeling as though this thing is slipping away by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I think Kyle Hendricks was the closest to saying, we know the Brewers are on our heels, they're coming after us, but that just means we've focused on us and our brand of baseball, and that's exactly how this team has always handled things, and that's the truth. If they take care of their own business at this point where they are, they still win this division, right? They're up. They're up a game. They are at the top, and if they just take control of things from here on out, they win and they finish this off. So, like I always like to do when we finish things off on a positive note, we do have, like you mentioned, the Brandon Morrow. As we both alluded to, he is supposed to throw a sim game later this weekend, and then is hopeful to be back on the mound in a game towards the end of next week. And like you said, for a taxed bullpen, if he can come back and be effective at all, that will be huge, I think. Just his name out there is, I think, a big deal for how other teams are able to structure their lineup deep in the game. What else do we have that's a positive?
So the other positives are, initially it looked like Max Scherzer was going to be getting the start for the Nationals Thursday. He is not. So instead, Joe Ross, who is coming off Tommy John surgery and hasn't pitched in about 14 months or 15 months, however long that is, has been. So a little bit of a positive there from the Cubs end. But the other thing is the Nationals, because of some really wacky occurrences in Philadelphia, are on a tougher schedule than the Cubs. So they had to wait through this weekend as well. They got to go home and sleep in their own beds. But Sunday, as the Cubs flew here to Chicago, the Nationals had to fly to Philadelphia. Monday night, they did not play because people forgot to put the tarp on the field at the Philly Stadium. So they were forced to play a doubleheader Tuesday and then play Wednesday and then get back to D.C. So they've played three games in the last 2 days. Obviously, they have to play Thursday as well. They've just endured the recent what the Cubs have done as well. So it is going to be tough for them to get up for it. So if the Cubs somehow snuck by, got a win over the Nationals, they would have a 1.5-game lead over the Brewers going into Friday, which means whatever happens Friday, they still wake up Saturday morning with sole possession of first place. And that's all it is. It's step one. That's what Hendricks said. Step one, you go to D.C., you beat the Nationals, figure it out from there. That's step one. So, I mean, it's not a bad step one and it also doesn't look like the Hurricane's going to hit as of
positive, and there's a positive that Friday's game has been moved to 7:05. It was originally a 1:20 start, but to give the Cubs a little bit more of rest, if you will, so they'll get back as long as it's a, you know, 3.5 average 4-hour game, whatever. They should get back, you would think, by like 10 that night sort of thing, and be able to be in their own beds and then sleep in and then get to the park as they would usually, and then start that series with the Reds, who I don't know, but maybe they exerted all their energy in sweeping the Dodgers just now. That is really an incredible stat what the Reds have done to the Dodgers this year. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe they used it all up, Tony, and they come here to Wrigley and, you know, the Cubs can just run away with a few there.
I mean, the Cubs did sweep the Reds in a 4-game series over the weekend last homestand.
Yeah, it was the best thing they could have had was the Reds in the schedule. So, I don't know. They've seen them plenty. They know what to do, and they've had plenty of success against them. Again, it's just making it happen now with what's going on.
All right, that'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info.